Welcome, welcome, everybody. Thank you guys for coming. Appreciate it greatly. And learning to lean. Now it's my turn. Time to lean on Jesus. Let's go. If it's cool, I'm going to say a quick little prayer. Lord, I just want to thank you for this time. Thank you for allowing us to be here and gather together in your name. And just pray and ask you to come now that you would equip me and Victoria to strengthen us, God, to speak the words that you want spoken. That our ears would be open to hear, and that it would give us hearts and minds to receive your truth, Father, and that we'd leave this place closer to you and closer to each other as well. And that you just bless us tonight, Father, as you get your perfect will done. Meet each and every need in this place, I pray, God, and cause us to leave uplifted and encouraged in you. We ask this in your name. Amen. Well, with that being said, how many of you here like to receive blessings? Raise hands. How many like to receive blessings in the house? A lot of hands. Okay, now how many of you guys like to go through sufferings? Raise your hands.
No.
What? I thought there were just as many hands. Dang it. Well, as you guys know, as much as we would like to receive the blessings and, skip the suffering part, unfortunately, you can't have one without the other. And so this leads to my sermon title, calling Sufferings to Blessings. So fun. I forgot to warn you, I'm sorry, this is not a sugar-coated sermon. So if you're here for truth, then you're in the right place. Otherwise, I'm sorry. It's a truth sermon tonight. You can't have one without the other. Suffering is a part of life, and it's a pattern that we're called to as Christians. And I just have a few scriptures here. 1 Timothy 1, 15-16 says this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life.
Yes.
1 Peter 5:8-10 says this, be sober, be diligent, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And finally, Hebrews 12:5-11 says this, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you are through chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the fathers of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seems best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterward, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. In order to get to the destination, you first got to go through the journey. And the same goes with God's blessings. He won't give you something that you're not prepared for. Suffering is a tool that is used to help us get there. It is through the broken places and dark moments of suffering that God comes and makes himself real to you the most. It's in these moments where we find out where our strength comes from and where we learn the greatest lessons, giving us wisdom from God. There are many examples of this in the Bible, how people chose the path of suffering to gain the greatest of blessings. One example that I can think of is the life of Jesus. He loved us so much that he chose to come down to earth to live like us, to be able to relate to us. He became the spotless lamb that would take away the sins of the world. But, of course, that blessing would cost him his life. He even begs the Father to take the suffering away from him, yet he says, not my will, but yours be done. And you can read that in Mark 14:32-42 if you'd like. He loved us unto death. Even think about this. He loved us unto death, even those that hated and mocked him. He was willing to suffer death for these people. The one is that, would spit on his face and call him names. He was willing to die for these people so they could receive the greatest of blessings, a relationship with him and a fresh, clean start. Isn't that just beautiful? God is so good, honestly. Another example that I can think of is the story of Moses. He was raised in a place that he did not know, and he was separated from the ones that loved him the most. When he was of age, he chose to go back to his people to help them, leaving luxury for suffering. It was in this time of suffering in the wilderness where he found out his calling from God and fulfilled it to set his people free from slavery, which you can read in Hebrews 11, 24 to 26. And lastly, in the spirit of, you know, testimony nights that we've had here, I thought it would be good to share my life story with you guys so you can hear stories about things that I've overcome. As you all know, DFGC here is like my second home to me. You know, I was born and raised in a loving Christian home. At the age of 3, I was diagnosed with pervasive developmental disorder, which is a lower form of autism, so like socializing, phone calls, things like that was just really weird for me. But at the age of 7, Jesus came and set me free from most of that through people praying over me in this very church. Why not all of it, though, you ask? Why not all of it? Well, he wanted me to be able to understand and relate to people that go through the same struggles. And I can't understand or relate unless I suffer and go through it myself. So that's why I went through what I went through. Being diagnosed with this and being a Christian, it made school life very hard for me. I didn't have any friends growing up. You know, recess for me mostly consisted of me reading my Bible and listening to music on my Walkman, you know. I was a reject, a loser, a freak, and alone. Or this is how I did, and I still somewhat, you know, see my past self as. In high school, things did get better, though. I even made a few friends, which is awesome. One I'd seen from time to time, and I still do to this day, you know. One I reconnected with, and one of them soon became my sister-in-law. In 2012, the Lord had spoken something to me that shook me to my core. This was something I knew would be life-changing. So from that time onwards, I chose to leave my life in His hands. Not knowing where it would take me, I chose to let Him lead me and guide me to truth. Since then, I saw my brother get engaged and married. I got to see my sister, you know, run after her dreams of being a paramedic. But for myself, I still felt like an alien in this world, that it didn't really fit in anywhere, and I was just simply stuck while everyone else advanced in life. I had my cat go missing on me after having him for a year. I had a friendship of over 10 years break because of something I simply said. Hold on a moment. Yeah, that's true. You know, something I missed there. Oh no, I lost my spot. Forgive me. Okay, something I said. I even went to young adults groups as well to find out that I didn't even fit in or belong there as well. The worst of it, though, was when my grandmother passed away on Christmas Day in 2018. As one of the people that helped care for her at home, it felt like my life had lost purpose. I went back at square one again, feeling like a failure in this world. Things got so bad, I even pleaded to God and asked Him to come intervene and change things quickly for me, or else I was going to die. That was literally my prayer to God. Like, it was word for word, pretty much, you know. Within a week, because God is so good, within a week, He brought a few young adults up to a coffee house here. And they told me that a young adults group at the MSC on Tuesdays, like, you should go check it out. And I was like, all right, sure, I will. And what I didn't know was by me stepping through those doors that night was God, you know, changing my whole life, the start of changing everything. He did so much for me. He brought so many friends along the way. I gained confidence in myself. You know, Jesus literally changed my whole world.